bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
As we continue to worship this morning, find someone you may not recognize and greet one another.
Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give Him praise. And give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. Thanksgiving in your heart, you'll give Him praise. Give Him praise. Come to Him.
Well, good morning. It is really great to see all of you this morning. We have just come out of a great week of revival. And I know many of you took advantage and opportunity to come and be a part of those services. For whatever reason, if you were not able to make it out for those nights, or maybe you missed a night and wanted to catch up or maybe hear what you missed, if you want to, you can go on to our church's website, NixonNazarene.org, and you can listen to those sermons, those revival sermons. Not only those, but every week we put it on the website, the church. You can see them in video like you were actually there. So if you missed any of those services and were wanting to listen to them, feel free at any time to go to NixonNazarene.org, and you can listen to those. But we want to say good morning and welcome to you all. We have several visitors with us this morning. We want you all to make yourselves at home this morning. Amen. You guys are part of the family this morning. But if you would, turn with me to your bulletins. We've got a busy week ahead of us. We've got something, I believe, going on almost every single day this week. Church board meeting tomorrow. If you're part of the Ladies' Fellowship, you've got a meeting Tuesday. Of course, we've got our normal Wednesday night service. But one thing I want to touch on is something that's new that's here started the last month was Jennifer has taken some of the ladies and even maybe one of the couple of men in the church, and they're doing a beginner's sewing class, and they're going to meet again this Thursday evening here at the church in the fellowship hall at 6 o'clock. So if you want to, she fixes up Pastor Gary pretty nice. So if you want any more details on that, you can see Jennifer at any time for some information. If you have a teen that's going to be a part of the Encounter weekend this weekend and you might need some more information, you can get that from Cody. One thing that we've been doing here in the past several years is least of these has been asking for donations for turkeys. And this year they have a need for 850 turkeys. We have until November the 15th to donate for that. Turkeys are $10 a piece. If you want to donate for that, you can slip a check in the offering or part of your tithe. Just make on the memo section how much you'd like to go towards turkeys, and we have till the 15th to give for that. Then I was handed this morning. If you haven't decided where you want to go have lunch today, you might try Chinese. The Canton Buffet today is having a fundraiser for Officer Shane Ribbing and his family. The fundraiser is for his 3-year-old daughter, Emma, that was recently diagnosed with a type of bone cancer called Ewing sarcoma. On November the 8th, that's today, from 11 to 3, they're having a special lunch. You all are invited to attend and show your support for this local deputy. All proceeds, tips, and donations will go directly to the family. So that's from 11 to 3.
They're normally not open on Sundays.
Correct. They're not normally open, so that's at Main Street and Highway 14. Like I said, it's from 11 to 3. Please don't leave church early to get there at 11. But that is from 11 to 3 today. So pastor's got a couple announcements, and then Steve's got an announcement for choir.
Just real quick, wanted to remind you, we talked about this one night during revival, but we have received a call from the Ronald McDonald House, and they're soliciting some churches to help them shuttle some folks back and forth to their tour houses. This is Friday, November the 20th. If we have someone who would be willing to volunteer or work into a rotation, I have one person who's spoken to me already. This is from 8:30 in the morning till 8 in the evening. They're basically just driving. There's two different locations. One leaves Hope Community Church in Springfield and goes to a home in Springfield. The other leaves out of Hopedale Baptist Church in Ozark. But they're just shuttling people back and forth to these homes that are a tour. It's kind of a fundraising thing, I think, for Ronald McDonald House as well. So if you would have an interest in driving, just let me know, and we'll get you in contact with the appropriate people. The other thing is this. Now, I'm really cautious about this, but Cody talked to me. The youth are going on November 18th. That's a Wednesday night. They are going to the high school theater for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Now, they have called the youth groups in the area, and they have offered them tickets at $5 a person. Now, number one, those of you who are in the choir and practicing choir cantata, Steve doesn't want you to listen to this announcement, okay? So just pretend you're not listening to me. Those of you who are in my Bible study, we will have a Bible study. I will be here, but if you would like to go, I that will be okay with me. I'll let you go that night to help. And here's the reason why. The school, you know, we live in a day and a time when schools are pushing God and the church kind of the other way. But our school has given us a discounted ticket price on this evening. Joseph, of course, this is not exactly the biblical absolute version, but it is based on the biblical story of Joseph and his coat of many colors. And so when the school is going to reach out to us this way, then I'd like to show them some kind of support. Cody told me that when he secured tickets, our church and one other church are the only churches in the community that have responded to them. And so there will be a day and a time, folks, where the government will make them push us completely out. And so if they're going to do something to connect with us, then I'm okay with us connecting with them. And I know we've got some other things that are of equal importance. Cantata practice, very important, be here. But if there are others, you can contact Cody. He can get you tickets at that discounted rate to go that night if you want to go. So there are a couple of things that you can put in your hat to think about, and we appreciate it. Steve?
The seventh inning stretch is over. Go Cards! Okay, so we weren't in it this year. Congratulations, Royals fan. Halftime is over. Go Chiefs! That's yet to be determined, I think. I don't follow football. And if you want to go see Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, yes, the Wednesday night's the only night for the $5 tickets, from what I understand, but any other night you can go, choir members, pastor will pay the difference. Yes, cantata practice resumes this Wednesday night, 6:30, right here in the choir loft. So please be here.
Amen.
Thank you.
Great. Good job, buddy.
You left me hanging. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So today, during the day, if you guys could just whisper a prayer for those people that live in countries that are persecuted. I'm so thankful to live in a country where we can worship as we wish to. Last week I talked about crisis care kits. And thank you so much to those of you that have brought those in. And if you weren't here last week, you can come. If you would like to contribute to that, you can come and get the information from me. I didn't mention last week that they're due at the end of November. Were you not able to get the picture? Oh, there it is. Okay. Sometimes we are all in our little single churches, and we don't see the big picture of things. And going to district assembly, we can see the big picture of churches coming together. And I saw that this was on Facebook. It was on the NMI prayer mobilization line. Here, you guys, is a picture. And, you know, we would maybe, if we had two or three boxes there, maybe these are banana boxes, and this is how the crisis care kits are packaged, and then they're mailed in. And that just really touched my heart to see that picture. And I thought it would maybe for you guys, too, because we are just a little fish in the sea of a big picture of what we can do. And if every little church works together, look what we can do. And this is what was the caption underneath the picture. Praise God for Nazarenes that pack and send crisis care kits to mission fields. Missionary Scott and Emily Armstrong posted this photo of what it looks like when kits arrive on the field. This is not even a quarter off of the 18-wheeler truck that was received and unloaded. These kits help Nazarenes give practical aid to people who are suffering after a crisis. Thank you to everyone who has ever bought kit supplies, packed them in banana boxes, and shipped them to warehouses, who then ship them to the world in need. So I hope that this touches your heart and you can see kind of that we really are doing good with our crisis care kits.
Thank you, Carolyn. I would share just a little bit of additional information with you concerning this. Everyone remembers the Joplin tornado, I think. We were able to distribute 4,000 crisis care kits in the Joplin area alone. So this isn't just for those over there. It's for any family that has a need. And if you lose your home or whatever and don't have a toothbrush or a washcloth or the things that are in these crisis care kits, be sure that you are aware that these benefit everyone. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay, if our ushers would come at this time, we'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. As they are coming, I want to say just a word to you. We need some volunteers for greeters at the back door. So if you'd like to be a greeter or think you're interested, why let me know. And we'll get you in touch with the right things at the right time to make sure that you're able to do that. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings today on the offering. As we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of God, we have been blessed over and over and over again, Lord, through your love and your mercy and your grace. Now as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, we pray your blessings upon them. In Christ's name, amen.
Oh, my. together in unison. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord is exalted.
This is my daily bread.
me ask you the question. How many of you came to church this morning desperate for God? You know, whatever reason we get here is probably an okay reason. But oftentimes we come out of habit. Maybe we come out of a sense of obligation, trying to perform a Christian duty. Wouldn't it be great if every time we were drawn to this place, it was because we love God so much? And that there's a sense when we awaken on a morning of a service time, we prepare to go on a Wednesday evening or during revival services, and all of a sudden as we think about, well, it's about time to get ready to go to church, there's just this overwhelming sense of, without God, I'm lost. The only hope I have is to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I am so excited about going and worshiping the one who loved me so much he sent his son. I am so excited that I am able to go and thank Jesus for staying on the cross for me. I'm able to go and appeal to the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to me and share with me God's thoughts and feelings. And if we would say, I can't miss because, Lord, I can't go through a day without you. Several years ago, I had a guy who was a copier salesman who came quite regularly because he wanted to sell us a copy machine. And we bought a copy machine. We just didn't buy it from him. And he came back the next week and he said, I just came to check on your copy machine. I said, no, we didn't buy a copy machine from you. He said, I know. I just want to make sure it's working all right. I thought, that's the oddest thing I ever heard of. And he said, okay, and he turned around to walk out the doors. That was before this big sanctuary was here. We were in the old building, and he walked out those double glass doors and that half-circle sidewalk. And he stepped off the step, and he turned around immediately. He said, I'm an alcoholic. I said, what? He said, I've never been drunk. I've never done anything to harm my wife. I've never missed a day of work. But he said, I can't go through a day without alcohol. So I'm addicted. I'm an alcoholic. And I said, well, man, why didn't you? What? That's what we're here for. You know, we're here for you. But that's why he was coming back. He wasn't coming back to check the copy machine. He came here because he believed God would be here to help him. We need to get to that place every day. Or when we wake up in the morning, we say, God, I'm not making another move until you and I have had a conversation. And I know that you're mine and I'm yours and we're in this together and okay, it's going to be all right from here on out. Are we desperate for God? There are people all around us that have needs and you have done a great job of responding. Thank you so much. We had great attendance in the revival services and it was a great time in the Lord. And thank you so much to all of those of you who came. How many of you are glad to see Janet sitting on the piano again this morning? We thank Cheryl and all the others who have helped us. But it's great to have our regular piano player back after knee surgery. And I enjoyed Brother John, and I was glad to let our workers off the platform and let them soak up the revival too. But I'm feeling pretty good about James and Matt being on the drums and bass again this morning and helping out. We appreciate them. And our guys back in the booths didn't really get a rest, but we appreciate our guys back there in the booths who help us. But I have a note here. Church family, when counting my blessings, I always include my church family. Thanks for all of you for your prayers, calls, cards, and beautiful flowers during my recent surgery. You all are the best. That's from Janet. Thank you, Janet. We're glad you're back. And then I have one here. It says, your prayers, love, and concern for us and for our family has been a blessing at times lately. It has been hard to keep our heads above water. But we knew our church family was praying for us, and that helped us a great deal. Love and prayers, Pastor Don and Ruth. There's thanks on here for the card and the Visa gift card and the Pastor's Appreciation Month. We love and appreciate all of you so much and count it a blessing to be a part of our great church. And we would echo that, Jennifer and I, this morning, that the Pastor Appreciation Month is a fun month, but you guys do that stuff all year round. And we thank you for your gifts. Well, I just got to tell you, I hope you don't wait till October to pray for me. And I hope you don't stop praying on the 31st of October when Pastor Appreciation Month is over. Pastor Don, I know, would echo this sentiment. We live off your prayers. We appreciate your support. We thank you for your love. We're in this together. And we'll do our best to continue to lead you and to point you toward God, because he's the real leader. And thank you so much for all that you have said and done. As we continue to prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, there are things in the bulletin we want to continue to make note of. We remind you that we are praying this month for High Point Elementary and Summit Intermediate Schools. We will, at the last of the month, deliver pastries to the faculty and staff. And we will continue each month until we've covered every school building in the Nixon school system. We will continue. It takes about 10 months to do that, to highlight and pray for those buildings and those faculty and staff, and to take those treats to them. And it is making a difference. You are making a difference. And we've had a good relationship with the schools. We intend to keep that as long as God will allow it. And so you continue to pray for them. We appreciate Carolyn, you heading that ministry up. Thank you so much, all those who are helping out. But continue, remember to pray for those schools, pray for their faculty and staff. We're not allowed, because of security reasons, to have their individual names. But I promise you, God knows every teacher and every staff member at those schools. And he knows every kid by name. And he has the hairs on their head numbered, because he cares about his people. And we're going to do our best to follow that suit and to do that as well. And then we also need to remember this morning, Ray has a court date on Thursday concerning some family matters. And so be praying for Ray Gibson Thursday. Cheryl's sister Debbie fell down the steps at her house, sprained her ankle bad, got swelled up. So pray for Debbie this morning. And then I had the privilege of being in the homes of some of our folk this past week and got to see Bert. I'm glad she's here this morning. But I got to see Brother Herschel Henry. He is back in Century Pines. He says to tell all of you hello and to give you his love. And he wouldn't be mad if any of you wanted to stop by and see. And so we miss him here. He was a very regular and faithful part of our congregation. And so we continue to lift up Brother Herschel Henry in our prayers this morning, as well as these many other items. I know there are things that are on your heart and mind. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing together a chorus. And these altars are open to you. And if you have need of a place of prayer where no one's going to come to you, just your time to meet with God, to lay down burdens, to lift up praise, whatever the case might be, you feel free to come to these altars, and you'll have that private place this morning as we sing, and then we'll lift our hearts together in prayer.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall.
Father, we are indeed grateful. We're in the month of November, and when we get to November, our minds just kind of automatically turn to thoughts of Thanksgiving. Lord, we ought to be thankful every day. But it's okay that we have a month to help us to kind of think about it and remember. Lord, we want to be thankful people. We want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for the plan of salvation. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for Jesus on the cross. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Bible to guide us and direct us every day of our life, Lord. We thank you that you have provided everything we need to make it to your heaven. And we're glad you want us to come. Lord, in a couple of weeks, we'll have some big family gatherings. Sit around the tables and we'll joke and laugh and tell stories and enjoy our family and friends. Lord, one of these days there's going to be a big marriage supper. And all of God's people are going to be home. It's going to be a great time together. We want to be there. So, Lord, we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so, Father, we want to make sure this morning, we just want to double check, tell you thanks for loving us and sending your Son. Lord, we just want to affirm that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior this morning. We've confessed our sins and asked you to come into our heart and life. And then, Lord, according to what we believe that Jesus said he provided for us to be holy by his shedding of his blood on his cross, Lord, we come this morning and we affirm that you indeed have filled us with your Holy Spirit and sanctified us holy. We thank you for that message. We thank you that we don't have to live in the depths of sin, but that you delivered us. Lord, you want to help us along the way. We thank you for that today. We thank you for the message of holiness, full salvation, victory in Jesus. Thank you for the indwelling, infilling presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God through that same Spirit. We're thankful for this church. Thankful for a building that we can come on a frosty morning like this morning. We can have the heat turned on and the lights, and we can be in here in a warm environment and worship and fellowship together. And Lord, we thank you for our sister churches all around our community. There are great churches and great pastors who are gathering today. And Lord, we know that you're able to do this. You don't just pick one church and go there. You can be at all the churches same time. I don't understand that, but I believe it, and I'm glad for it. That's the kind of God I want to serve. That's the kind of God I want to be my Father. And Lord, we thank you because you are all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-powerful, and ever-present. And Lord, we sense your presence here this morning. We thank you for that. And Father, we pray that you'd accept our worship today. We love you. And we thank you. Lord, we know sometimes that we say things and we have trouble backing up our words with our actions. But Lord, we pray that you continue to help us to grow and to mature in you. And that we'll more and more look like you, act like you, think like you. And that you'll continue to lead, guide, and direct us through this life until we reach life's end. Lord, we have a bulletin full of requests, and we have believers here this morning who have things on their hearts and minds. Lord, you know every one of them, just like you know every kid in the schools that we talked about. Lord, we pray for those schools today. We pray for our superintendent. We pray for all of the faculty and staff. We pray particularly for Summit and High Point this month. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to do so. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. We know that there are hundreds of people a day who lose their lives because they say they love Jesus. And they refuse to deny his name. Lord, it hadn't come to that in America yet, but it could. And Lord, I pray that we would be found worthy. I pray that we would be found strong. I pray that we would be so in tune and so in touch that if they want to have our head, then so be it. Because we're not going to quit doing what we do and believing what we believe and loving who we love just because they say we ought to. There's not a devil in hell that's greater than our God. We don't always understand your timing. We don't always understand your methodology. We don't know why some people get instantly healed and others suffer for a long time. We don't understand all that. But we know that you're God and you know stuff we don't know. Your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so, Lord, we're not going to presume to tell you how to run your world. We're going to trust you. We heard messages on trust this week. We're going to trust you. Because you're the best option we've got. So we're sticking with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being in our lives every day. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We pray a special touch on those folks who'd like to be here but can't be with us any longer. People like Herschel in the nursing home. Lord, those who might be sick, unable to be here today. Some folks who had to be other places. Lord, would you go right now to wherever those folks are? Would you just wrap your arms around them and love them real good? And may they sense that there's some folks back at Nixa Church of the Nazarene who miss them when they're not here. And we lift them up to you. Pray for their safety, for their provision, their protection. We're glad they're part of our family. And Lord, I want to pray for every person who said when they came in here this morning they were a visitor. Lord, they've got regular church homes in other places maybe, or whatever their reason is, Lord, if they don't have a church home in their local, we'd be glad to have them be part of our family. Lord, if they're traveling, we pray that when they leave here today that you'd just watch over them, get them safely home, bless their fellowship and their holiday or vacation, their family, whatever it is, whoever they're visiting with. But Lord, we pray today in these moments that they spend with us that they would sense the presence of the Almighty God. And they would know when they leave here they've been in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory, for you deserve it. You're worthy. Worthy of the Lamb that was slain. We give you these things in the name of Jesus, because that's what you told us to do. You said to come with boldness and confidence, and so we do. In his name, we ask these things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Bless you. Well, praise the Lord. I've been a few places where they'd get to this point in the service and the preacher would step up and say, how many of you would rather be here as in the best hospital in the country? I'm not sure that's a good comparison. I'm just glad to be here, period. I'm glad I've got a place to go where there's a group of people that I can call family, that love the Lord and want to hear from him, seeking his direction. Man, I'm glad to be with you. I'm a family kind of guy. I love my family. I love it when my kids come home. Cheryl's my cousin. Sue's my sister. And my kids, Heather's my daughter-in-law. Cody had to go to a counselor's conference. They had to leave right after Sunday school, so you pray for his traveling mercies. He'll be gone through Tuesday night. But I'm glad when my family gets together, and you've heard me tell, you know, Thanksgiving's coming, and the Swearingen's for I don't know how many years now. I've been pastoring here 30 years. And we've been meeting in our fellowship hall almost ever since. There's about 70 or 80 of us that gather in the fellowship hall here at the church, all my aunts and uncles, and anybody else that's listening. We bring more people that aren't our family to our family gatherings, I think. Everybody's always bringing somebody that doesn't have a place to go. When I was a kid, I didn't really like that too well. But as an older person, I can appreciate. That my grandma Ruby always had a place at the table for somebody else. I'm glad God's got a place at his table for me. Well, it's been a good week. How many of you How many of you got to come to every service of revival? All five services. That's good. How many of you got to come to any one of the revival services? That's good. All right. I'm sorry if you didn't get to make any of them. I'm sorry you missed it because it's good stuff. We had a great time. And I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about the results of revival. Turn to Psalm 51 this morning in your Bible for a text. A couple of verses there, verses 12 and 13. The exciting thing about this passage of Scripture to me is the twofold thing that happens here in these verses. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. The truth of the matter is, when this prayer was prayed, it was prayed by King David. And he was caught in the act of adultery. Nathan had pointed it out to him, the prophet Nathan. And David had come face to face with his own sin and knew that he had blown it. And went to God and said, I'm sorry. You know what the really cool thing about that is? It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. When you get to the point that you're sorry for it, God's ready to hear your prayer. He's patient and gracious. And David went to him and said, you know, you and I were once in a relationship. It was really good. And I've kind of let down on my end of the bargain. But if you'll forgive me, if you'll restore to me that joy, then I'm going to do my best to share that with other people. And a lot of that is, that really is the essence of what revival is all about. That when we in the church go about our business, that sometimes that can drain us a little bit. And to be quite honest, even good Christian people sometimes can lose their joy a little bit. More their happiness than it is their joy, because joy is deep down and it hangs on for a long time. But the world can kind of steal your stuff. We get sad sometimes. We get tired sometimes. We get weary sometimes. And what happens when that happens is we're not out there doing the work. We just kind of hole up somewhere. Sometimes we'll cry out to the Lord and get help. And sometimes we just kind of hole up with ourselves and just feel sorry for ourselves or whatever, and we don't really communicate with God. But I am so excited that David came to grips with this and he said, hey, listen, Lord, I am sorry. And if you will restore to me the joy of my salvation, I'm going to tell some other folks about you, and I'm going to help other people to know you and to love you the way that I want to do. Now, what would happen if when in revival services that some of y'all got juiced up? And you couldn't wait to go tell somebody about Jesus. And what would happen if, as a result of those revival services, you did a better job or went about it more enthusiastically or more often or with more boldness to tell people about God? What would happen if all these empty spots would get taken up? What would happen if we had to have one of those little red plastic things out in the foyer where you take a number to get a seat? You can't come in here till we call your number. Well, we wouldn't get one of those red thingies, but I'd sure like to have all these seats filled up. And I believe that we experienced a good time in God's presence this past week. And I really believe that some of these things have happened because I've been listening to some of you. And for those of you who didn't get to make it, or some of you who maybe didn't get to this point, I just want to tell you what I believe scripturally the benefit of revival can be. And if we'll share with each other, I think we can all get in on that spirit and that atmosphere. I believe that those of you who maybe didn't get to make any of the revival services, but you're here this morning and you're hearing us testify about revival and you're feeling some of that excitement, you're kind of going, oh man, I should have come. Wish I could have been here. And that's what we want. We want people hungry for God. You know? And it's okay. Because God's still here, still got all the stuff to give you that he gave us in revival. And if you want it, he won't make you wait till the next revival meeting. He lets you in on it now. And so I just kind of want to go from that school of thought this morning, because I believe that one of the things that happened in revival is that those of us who were a part of those services, we got a fresh touch from God. We got a fresh touch from God. I had somebody bring me a piece of paper and share with me a passage of Scripture. And at that point in time, I had no idea exactly where we were going with this. But this passage of Scripture in Ezekiel was on that piece of paper. And as I got to reading and as I got to praying this week and trying to discern what the Lord would have us to say, this just really spoke to me. And I'm not going to read all 14 verses, but I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 5. And it says this: "This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." Any of you ever known any people who could use some life? People get tired once in a while. When they get tired, sometimes they're not as enthusiastic. Every once in a while, we need a fresh touch of life. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about him talking about breathing. Breathing on those bones. And then when you get over to the 14th verse of that same chapter, it says, "I will put my spirit in you. I put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know what I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." I'll put my spirit in you, and you will live. I'm going to breathe life into you. That's his spirit. Life equals the Spirit of God in us. Without the Spirit of God, we're dead. And I got to thinking, sometimes it takes me a long time to think. But I got to thinking, when I was thinking about life and the breath of God, I got thinking about the very beginning. You remember the very beginning? How many of you remember the beginning? In the beginning. How many of you remember in the beginning? Anybody here ever read that verse, in the beginning? What happened in the beginning? God made a man. And if you go back to the beginning, In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, this is what it says: "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Janet, you cannot believe how pumped I got when you started playing I'm Desperate for You this morning. Because that's what was on my mind when I was praying in the study this morning. I thought I'd even get the words to that song, and I'll have those and talk about God breathing on us. Because we need to hunger for the breath of God to come into our lives. God wants to help us. He really wants to do something in our lives. He wants to give us life, and that happens because God breathed it into us. That was at the beginning. But you know, it carries through. I want you to listen to Jesus. Jesus, in John chapter 20, he's talking to his disciples. And it says, after he said, this is John chapter 20, verse 22. "And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." Now, this is before Pentecost ever happened. But he was setting them up. He was preparing them. He said, "Oh man, you got no idea. You need to turn loose on me because you got no idea what's coming. You're going to like it. It's going to be good. If you've enjoyed being with me, hey, hang on to your hat because it's going to get better." And they're thinking, how can it get any better than to have the Son of God right here? It can't get better than that. And he breathed on them. Breathed on them. He gave them life. And that's what revival is. Revival is God breathing on his church. And as we individually receive that breath, as we individually say, "Lord, I'm going to open up my heart and my life and my mind to whatever you have for me. Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to be obedient. Lord, I just want you more than anything else. I'm desperate for you." And when every one of us begins to get that way, It changes the church as a body. And new life comes into the church. Now, we made up our minds last summer that we felt like we could do more than we'd been doing. And we set out about some outreach activities, and we got some new life, and we got some new energy, and we set about that activity. We did those activities, and as a result of that, new people came into our church, and new life came into our church through those people as well. And see, this thing just is a continuum. God wants to give us that energy, that infilling. And it is His will. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. This is what God wants for His people and His church. He wants them to be Spirit-filled. And He wants to breathe on us and give us that Spirit. He wants to give us life. I will never forget years and years and years ago. Matter of fact, I think it may have been the year that I got ordained in 87. Preacher was preaching a message, and he was talking about the fresh touches of the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we get stuck in our theology, you know, and we say, well, we believe in two works of grace, and so we want you to go to the altar and get saved, and then we want you to go to the altar and get sanctified, and then you're done. You're good to go till Jesus comes. Lie, 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 lie. That's not the truth. Because if you're being filled with God's Spirit and you're continually sharing that Spirit and giving that Spirit out, there's a regeneration that needs to take place. There's a free refueling and fresh feelings that need to take place. That's part of what revival is for. Is to get us in that atmosphere where that fresh touch of God can come. But they were telling the story about a new thing that was going on then, and it's not new now, so it's old news to you. But the B-52 bombers, you know, they designed a plane that will refuel those bombers in flight so that they don't have to go back to an airport somewhere. And while those things are flying in the air, they'll fly up this fuel jet underneath them, and they'll got a way to shoot a line up to the gas tank, and they fill those things while they're flying. And then they can just keep flying for those extra long trips, you know. Well, man, that's what I want. If I'm going to run out of fuel, I don't want to crash in the ocean. I don't want to have to turn around and go back somewhere. I want to keep going toward the destination. I want a fresh feeling of His Holy Spirit. And that's what revival is about. And for those of us who were a part of these services, I believe that every person who came into these services with an open mind, I believe that God gave them a fresh touch in these revival services. I believe they sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. But not only does God want to give us this fresh touch, but what happens out of that is when we get this new energy, when we get this new life, when we indeed allow God to fill us to overflowing, we find new devotion. And God not only gives us a fresh touch, but He gives us full devotion. That means we're committed to something. We're not going at it half-heartedly. We don't just kind of, yeah, whenever I feel like it. But there's a purpose. There's a drive. There's a commitment that says, this is important, and I got to make this a priority. This is not just something I do when I don't have something else to do. I need for God to be first and foremost in my life. I just want you to hear some things about some men in history. If we go back to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, this is what it says. But because my servant Caleb, that was one of the two guys that said they could go claim the promised land. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. You know what that means? That means his spirit's not like everybody else's. And here's why. And follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So what God's saying is, you know what? There's some folks out there who don't go about this wholeheartedly. Did you know that there's people that come to church and people who testify loving God that aren't really all in? Did you know that? Matter of fact, it's a prayer that we pray for our children. We want our children to know God, and we want them to be committed to Christ in their life. We want him to be a priority. Listen to this. David prayed this prayer for his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 19. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. How many of us know some folks who are always saying why they can't do what God wants them to do? How many of you know any folks who've ever, and how many of you have ever been there where you made an excuse about why you can't do what God wants you to do? That's not wholehearted devotion. That's partial commitment. Wholehearted devotion says, I go when it doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not saying you don't ask a few questions to kind of try to figure things out along the way, but if you don't get the answers you're looking for and it doesn't come as soon as you'd like, you still do what God says. We've got a whole Bible full of history of people who live that way. Abrahams and Gideons and Josephs and all kinds of people. And we know that Solomon is probably the most famous king of all times. But we also know that in his latter years, by the time he got done with 300 wives and 700 concubines, that he had divided allegiances. And we know that the end story of Solomon is that he kind of fell off at the end. He wasn't really all in. He wasn't really as committed as he ought to be. So God doesn't always get what he wants, and parents don't always get what they pray for. Because this thing about serving God is a personal decision. But then look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 21. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah. Doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. You get this? In everything. In everything, and he worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. Sometimes this is a challenge to live this way. You know, as we get past the history of the Old Testament and as we get into the New Testament and the things that Jesus was teaching and the things that God was trying to challenge us with, I remind you of what he said in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33. Jesus speaking, this is red letters in your Bible, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All the things he's talking about were all the stuff that we worry about and try to do ourselves. He's talking about food and shelter and all that kind of stuff. Things that we consume ourselves with and things that are part of the reason why we can't do what God wants us to do because we're concerned about these things that we're trying to control and accumulate and take care of in the temporal realm. And so we can't do heavenly work because we're all about earthly stuff. And so God is saying you need to get your priorities right. Seek me first. I'll take care of all that stuff. I've got a jar on my desk. I should have brought it with me this morning. Some of you have been here for the 30 years I've been here. You've seen it before, and I've had it up here. But I have a jar that has English walnuts and rice in it. And you can take that jar, and if you take the English walnuts, and they represent the things that God wants you to do. And if you take the rice, and it represents the stuff that you want to do, you know, if you put the rice in first, the things you want to do, you can't get all those English walnuts in there. There's a certain number of English walnuts, I think 24 or something like that. Anyway, you can't get them in that quart jar. But if you take the English walnuts, which represent the things that God wants you to do, and you put them in the jar first, they'll fit in there. And if you pour the rice in, then it just trickles down into all the crevices and cracks. And you know what? You can get them both in there. Seek me first, and I'll add all this other stuff to you. No, don't go doing your thing and then tell me you don't have time for me. That won't work. Put me first. Do my stuff first. Listen to what I say first. And then I'll bless you with this other stuff. It'll all work out. Luke warned us in Luke 16 and verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God does not want us trying to live life with divided loyalties. Listen to James chapter 4 and verse 8. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, if we go back to James chapter 1, we'll read in verse 7 and 8. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So God makes a proclamation here. Divided loyalties will get us in trouble every time, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need full devotion. That's what revival does. It kind of renews in our mind where we need to be spiritually. And we say, you know what, Lord? That's right. I'm sorry that I've drifted. I'm sorry that I got away. I'm sorry that I'm off course. Lord, I want to be fully devoted to You. I want You to be first and foremost in my life. I don't want to be a double-minded man. When we built this building, the guy who was supposed to be the contractor poured the concrete pad, and then he had a heart attack. Then he had open-heart surgery. So he didn't do anymore. Now, my dad had been a builder, a residential builder, all my life. And so I took on a new hat. Not only was I the pastor of the church, but for a period of months, I was the contractor of this building. An interesting thing happened. We were right in the midst of the building boom that Nixa was involved in at that point in time, all this fast and rapid growth. And we had a framing crew who came on site, and what they didn't tell me when they told me they would do the job and we liked their bid and we heard good things about their work, what they didn't tell me was they had five other jobs going on at the same time. They didn't have five other crews. So they'd come here one day, and then he'd say to me at the end of the day, oh yeah, Pastor Gary said, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I got to go over here and finish framing this other house over here. So it took longer to get done what we thought we would get done. It threw us off schedule. Then I had to start calling other subcontractors and say, oh yeah, by the way, you can't come tomorrow because they're not framing up and we won't be ready for you. And it threw everything off all along the schedule. Now, we finally got here and we're enjoying it today. We've had many fine compliments about this building and we enjoy it and we love it and we thank God for it. But that caused me some stress. And I'm just telling you, when you try to tell God what the order ought to be, when you've got divided loyalties and you're saying, yeah, God, I want to do the spiritual things, but you know, I kind of like what's going over here, and I've had this offer from the devil, and although we don't say that, we never admit that, we never acknowledge that, we just kind of do our own thing. And then we get distracted, and then we get divided, and then we're not on target and on path and on time with what God wants to do. We need full devotion, and that's one of the blessings and the benefits of revival, is that we have full devotion because we're in love with Jesus and we've refocused and we've reset and we're going on. And here's the best thing, last thing, fresh touch from God, a full devotion of our lives, and there's a fruitful harvest that comes. This is an exciting thing. This is what David says. He said, if you'll restore to me the joy of my salvation, I'll go teach transgressors your way. That's the exciting part. When we get excited about what God is doing for us, we tell other people. It's great. How many of you have ever gone to a restaurant and you just liked it so much, one of the first things you did when you got out of that place was next time you saw somebody you knew, you told them about what a good place you ate at? I mean, I know people get on Facebook and they do that. Oh, man, you got to go eat here. I saw it happen this weekend. Out of this church! Because Sister Carolyn said, hey, we ate at this fine place. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. Where is that at? I've never heard of that. It's been right across the street for like a million years. It was, named something else. But it's been there for a long time. Good food. And that's great because we all like to get... Because how many of y'all been someplace where they had bad food?
We want to stay away from those places. But we like to tell people, when you get a good deal somewhere, how many of you ladies, when you get a good deal and you know somebody else who does, you know, because my wife, she's into all that fabric and sewing and all that kind of stuff. She's going to teach those people in that beginner's class. And she knows about Hancock's and Joann's and FM stores. You know, if you want to get fabric, go to FM stores because that's the cheap place. And they always cut you. My wife says, they always cut you more than you ask for. They're generous. So we tell people about that stuff. Well, what more, what greater thing could we get excited about telling people about than Jesus and salvation and eternal life? Pastor Brian was preaching the other night, and he preached out of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. He's talking about the parable of the sower. And I just got to thinking about one of those verses he was talking about. He got to talking in verse 22 about the deceitfulness of wealth choking out the message. And it says that it makes people unfruitful. It makes it unfruitful. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But then you read on. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. That's a pretty good dividend. That's a good result. And so we want that to happen in our lives. And I was reminded as I kind of was paralleling these stories and reading them together in the scripture, I was reminded, and I thought there was this really cool thing in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it. They hear the word, they retain it, and by perseverance produce a crop. We got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We got to hear the word, and we got to retain it, and then we got to live it out. We can't just say, oh, preach that as a good message today. Or we can't read the Bible and say, oh, man, the Lord spoke to my heart today. And then go out and do something else. We got to do what the Word tells us to do. And that's what produces good fruit. And God did choose us to produce fruit. Because if you look in John chapter 15, it'll tell you that. John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That is my command. Love each other. It's a great thing that if we will be fruit bearers, that God is going to bless us. If you'll bear fruit, I'll give you whatever you ask in my name. The time is now, folks. This is not a wait till later deal. If you read in John chapter 4, in verse 35, it says, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now think about when that was said. They've been ripe ever since. Ever since Jesus came and lived out this message, the world's been ripe for it. Because it needs it. We need a Savior. We need a sanctifier. We need God in our lives, and that's fruit. As we tell other people about that, we reproduce Christianity. That's what happens. So this is what I'd say to you. We wind this down. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What was the essence of what Brother Brian was preaching the other night in revival? Don't give up. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on the message. Don't give up. What do we start back a year ago virtually? One for one and one. Every one of us, we got excited about the idea that all we had to do was share our faith and bring one person to know Christ. And the potential would be to double the size of our church. But how many of us have gotten weary in well-doing? And how many of us have said, well, I helped hand out bottles of water, and I helped do this, and I helped do that, and so that kind of let me off the hook, didn't it? Well, one for one and one. Everybody's responsible for bringing one. Where are we at with that? We got 2 months to end the year. One for one and one in a year. Everyone win one in a year. We're 2 months away from the year being up. How are we doing? How you doing? God wants to help us. God chose us to be fruitful. God chose us and wants us to be the catalyst and the channel through which He can tell other people about Himself. And I believe that those of us who were a part of revival this past week received the benefit of a fresh touch from God. I believe that that fresh touch put within us a desire to be fully devoted to God. And I believe that if we live out that devotion, and if we share our faith, I believe it's going to produce some fruit. And some good things are going to happen. You say, well, you know, I don't know if it's worth even having revival anymore. I believe it's worth having revival. I don't think the day of revival is past. I believe God's church needs revival every once in a while. We need that time together. We need that concentration of services. We need to get in that spirit. And what I would say to those of you who maybe didn't make it is just talk to some folks that did and let some of that spill over on you. Tell some folks about the revival. If you didn't get in on it, the cool thing about technology is Brother Ben is right. All you got to do is go to nixonnazarene.org, click on the worship tab, go down to recent sermons video, and you can see every revival service in its entirety. And you can get in on that. I kind of like that sometimes. People go, well, you know, I couldn't be there. I missed it. You know, maybe next year. Nah, you can get it this year. It's on the internet. You don't have to miss it. How many of us want all of God we can get? How many of us are desperate for God this morning? Oh, God wants to revive us. I believe that He did that work in many of our lives in these past services. But you know, just because the evangelists and the song evangelists and the special services are gone, that doesn't mean that God's gone. It doesn't mean the opportunity to seek God is gone. And the Scripture says that if we seek God, He'll be found by us when we seek Him with our whole heart. And so if you're here this morning, you don't have to miss out on revival. You can seek God, and He'll bless you as well. Oh, church, God wants to fill these seats up. I was kind of excited last week. My sister, Sue, goes to church here. And she kept coming to me. She'd call me. Hey, I was walking at the community center this morning. Saw somebody else there. I asked them to come to church. Well, that's neat when people get excited about their church. When people begin to say, hey, I met Jesus. I'd like you to meet Jesus. You're having problems? I know somebody can help you with your problems. When we begin to believe and to share, I mean, God can do some wild things. Let's reap the rewards and the results of revival. Let's spill over into our world. Stand with me if you would this morning. No music playing. We're not going to play any song. I'm not going to do anything. I just want you to stand with me for a minute. Bow your head. Close your eyes. And if you're here this morning, in the course of this message, God has said to you, you know, well, maybe you weren't there, but you didn't miss out. Or maybe you were here for the revival. It just hadn't soaked in yet. And you're just saying, Lord, I want a fresh touch. I want to be fully devoted, and I want to be fruitful. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, I haven't been some of those things, but I want to be, these altars are open to you. I'm just going to pause for a moment, and then we're going to pray. But if you're here this morning and you just want a fresh touch of God, you want to be filled up to overflow, you want to be fully devoted to God, and you want God to use you to produce some fruit, and you're not there, then just come and let God fill you up today. Let this be the time of the fresh touch. Let this be the time of a new commitment. And let God begin to use you to produce fruit. Anybody like that here this morning? You need a place to pray. These altars are open to you. Well, praise the Lord. God's good, isn't He? Isn't it good to have a place to go to church? Isn't it good to have family when you get here? Amen. Well, we're going to be back at 6 o'clock tonight. Worship together again. We'd be glad for you to come. Amen. Wednesday evening, all the services. Just keep your eye on the bulletin. Check out the calendar on the website. Check out a revival sermon while you're there. Brother John Lewis, pray a closing prayer for us this morning, please.